Heavenly Father, we give this service to You now. We give You this whole day, Lord. Help us to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to make much of Jesus here today. Help us here to worship You. And we thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that You've given us now. And I pray as we open it, the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we continue our study this morning on the Holy Spirit, we begin back over in the book of John, chapter number 16, looking again at these verses that we read last week, John 16, looking at verse 7. The Word of God says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father and ye see Me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He," notice that He we talked about last week, He is a person, the divine person, "He, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you unto all truth, for He shall speak of Himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I, that ye shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you." Of course, it's talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, when He comes after Christ ascends back into heaven. And of course, we saw that on the day of Pentecost. So we come now to looking, we've seen the deity of the Holy Spirit. He's co-equal, co-existent with God. And we've also seen the Holy Spirit is not some force or some power. He is a person. He is a divine person. Have we seen that in the Scriptures? So who comes to mind when I speak the name Jehovah? Does it just the Father? Is it the Godhead? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it the Holy Spirit? Who comes to mind when I speak the word Elohim, the Hebrew word? Who does the Bible tell us is the creator of the universe? We saw previously, last week, just briefly, we saw the word Elohim, a plural word in Hebrew talking about God. Genesis 1:1 tells us, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Who is that God? Does that mean that just God the Father created the universe? Or was it the whole Godhead? Who is the Savior? Does this mean that the Father didn't play a role in our salvation? We know our Savior is Jesus Christ. There is no other. But does this mean the Father had no role in our salvation? What does the Holy Spirit do in our salvation? What is His role in our salvation? In all the major works of God, all three persons of the Trinity play a part, even though quite often one is preeminent in certain aspects. Of course, in creation, we think of God. In our salvation, we think of Jesus. We think of our Comforter, we think of the Holy Spirit. But all three play a part in all of those things and many more. During the last couple weeks, we have studied together about the deity of the Holy Spirit, and that He is co-equal, co-existent with God the Father and God the Son. All are equal. We have also studied the Holy Spirit as a person. He is a divine person, with all the physical attributes and characteristics of a human being. Today, in our continued study of the Holy Spirit, we begin another very important aspect of the Holy Spirit. That is His work. What does the Holy Spirit do? What has He done? What is He doing? And what is He going to do in the future? This is His work, the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, verses in John 16 shows us some of the things He's doing today. But over the next several weeks, we're going to break down the work of the Holy Spirit and see what He did in the Old Testament, what his responsibilities were during the earthly ministry of Christ, then how his role changed at the day of Pentecost, and then what is his role today and in the future. Quite a lengthy study here. Probably won't finish it this quarter, but that's okay. We're used to long studies in Sunday school. The ministries of the Holy Spirit, or the works of the Holy Spirit, are best illustrated by examining His works in three categories. His works in the natural world, His works in the lives of individuals, and His work in the lives of a group of people, like a church. So these works include works in the past, works in the present that are ongoing, and works in the future. One of the most important functions of the Holy Spirit is to teach us regarding two central events in the Scriptures: creation and our redemption. So today I'd like to spend just a few minutes looking at the Holy Spirit and creation. In most references in the Old Testament, when we look at the creation of the world, God is described as the Creator. Is this speaking strictly of the Father? Who is most clearly described as the Creator in the New Testament? Let's look at a few passages. Flip over to the book of John if you're there. Go to chapter 1, John 1. Beginning in verse number 1, John 1, 1. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of all things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Of course, we know John chapter 1 is talking about Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He was from the beginning. He had no beginning. He was with God in eternity. So we see here in John 1, if we read the whole first 14 verses, we would see Jesus is the Creator in the New Testament. It says in verse 3, all things were made by Him. That Him is the Word. And the Word is Jesus. Look at another passage over in the book of Colossians in verse chapter 1. Again, we'll see who is the Creator called in the New Testament. In Colossians 1, look at verse 12. Colossians 1:12, the Word of God says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, of course that's Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, of course, again, Jesus' blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, the Him is Jesus, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. So now we're thinking, well, no, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then we see here in John 1 and Colossians 1, we see, well, Jesus created all things. Does this close the door in our minds to thinking the Holy Spirit had anything to do with creation? We see God the Father. We see Jesus Christ. Do we shut the door and say, well, the Holy Spirit had nothing to do with creation? Raises questions in our minds, or it should. Lord, we know there's no contradictions. We know there's no errors. We know the Bible is all true. So explain this to us, Lord. Help us understand this. Surely the Scriptures have the answer, and of course they do. You know, these things that we dwell on and we think on point out some of the great mysteries of the Bible. But we should know and we should confirm in our hearts that the Godhead, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are intrinsically connected. They are a complete union together. Yet they are different between the three persons of the Godhead. They can be clearly separated in their works, but yet they never act alone. They are always in agreement. They are always together on the plan. Not one has a plan over here and the other two don't know. They work together always. So understanding this, how do we know the Holy Spirit is part of the Creator? How do we know that He was part of the creating process as much as God the Father and God the Son? Well, the main way we know this is the testimony of the Scriptures. How else do we know anything of truth except from the Word of God? So we must dig into the Bible and find what the Scriptures tell us about creation and the Holy Spirit. One of the most important, if not one of the top important works of the Holy Spirit is in creation. For it is the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned to us in the Scriptures. And we know the law of first mention. We've talked about that. Our pastors talked about that. Look over in Genesis 1, familiar passage of Scripture. But you know me, I dig into these Scriptures. I dig word by word and try to understand what the Scriptures are teaching us and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds and hearts and help us to understand what is truth. The Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But then it goes on to say, and the earth was without form and void. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void. These first mentions, this first statement of the Word of God is the creation activity. But we see as we stop there in the first part of verse 2, the earth was without form. It's without void. It's void, it's without form. This statement does not imply any inferior workmanship on God's part. It simply indicates He had not completed His purposes for the earth yet. The remainder of chapter 1 and going into chapter 2 of Genesis, these verses describe God's activity and His bringing the earth to a place where He could place His greatest creation, man. But verse 2 continues and says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This is the first reference we have in the Word of God to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. We saw over in the book of Ephesians, I believe it was, where the Spirit of God is given the attribute holy. And that's why we today call Him the Holy Spirit. Also, the Scriptures call Him the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. But this is the first instance we have in the Scriptures of His mention. At various places in the Scriptures, all three persons of the Godhead are stated to have a portion or a work in the creation process. So let's look at the Scriptures and see what the Holy Spirit did at creation. On this formless and yet lifeless mass that God has created, a divine power began to move in verse 2. It's the presence. It's the role of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know, modern evolutionists hold that the universe just came into being. I just saw just recently that they thought they have found the very first molecule from the Big Bang. Come on, people. How do you know that's the first? But modern evolutionists say that the universe just came into being. It really has no rhyme, no reason. It has no special purpose. It's merely one glorious accident in which you and I are unwilling participants. hogwash. An unbelieving philosopher of the 20th century stated, "We don't know where we came from. We don't know why we are here. And we can't know where we're going." Well, I know. I know the answer to all those things. The Word of God tells us those answers. This philosophy is a philosophy of hopelessness. And that's our world today. Our world has a philosophy of hopelessness. And people are searching for hope. And we have hope. Are we not supposed to be ready to give an account for the hope that is in us? You know, if there is no creator, then there's no plan. If there's no plan, then there is no eternal purpose for mankind. We are adrift on the sea of time without a chart and without a compass. But that's not the picture the Word of God paints. Now, you have to believe this book. And I know in all of our lives there was a time when we didn't believe this book. Even if it was at a young age or an adult age or a teenage age. There was a time when I believed this was a good book. It was God's book. But I didn't understand it until someone took the Word of God, which has the power, and showed me I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior and that Jesus Christ is that Savior. And once I received Him personally as my Savior and the Holy Spirit came in and dwelled, He opened my eyes and I no longer looked at this as just a book. I looked at this as the book, the truth. And without the Holy Spirit of God, we can't understand this book. So, we live in a world where is hopelessness around us every day. At your occupation, at the place you go to eat, at the hospitals, at the service stations, and your home, and your extended family, all around us in your schools, we are surrounded with people that have no hope, that are believing that I found the first molecule of creation, of the Big Bang. They need to know the Creator. But who is the Creator? Well, God. The entire universe was made according to God's plan, according to Him. So let's look at some of this. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, we're not going to have time to read the whole passage, but go back and read this chapter. Boy, it'll make you praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, look at verse 12. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are accounted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Look at verse 28, for sake of time. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. Go back over in verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? Who has taught the Spirit of God anything about earth? No one. Remember, He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's God. You know, these verses, if we go back and you read this chapter, these verses tell us that God planned the universe. Furthermore, we are told specifically that the Spirit of the Lord was involved in executing His plan. The point is, He who measured out the creation in verse 12 cannot be measured by His creation. He is above and beyond human reason. He is above and beyond human explanation. The Spirit of the Lord is sovereign. He is God. And He is involved in creation. So today's big question, how has the Holy Spirit been involved in creation? You know, the Hebrew word for spirit is often translated in the Old Testament as wind or breath. The same word is found in Psalm 33. Look over there with me if you have your word. I have the Bible with you in Psalm 33. Look at verse 6. In Psalm 33 and verse 6, the Word of God says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." That word breath is the same word that is used in the Old Testament for the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. We see here just a small glimpse of the Spirit's work in creation. As it says, all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. The next verse, verse 7, He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Remember verse 2 of Genesis 1? He moved upon the face of the waters, the Spirit of God did. And here we see He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the deep depth in storehouses. This should remind us of the Spirit of God moving upon those face of the waters of chapter 1 of Genesis. If we look closer at this word, move, when He moved upon the face of the waters. If we look close to that word we see in Genesis 1, we find that it conveys an idea of a bird sitting on a nest. That's something that we can comprehend in our minds. A bird sitting on her nest, hovering, brooding over her eggs, caring for these new lives. That's what this word move implies. This is mother bird hovering, caring for her newborn. The same word is used in Deuteronomy. Look over in chapter 32 of the book of Deuteronomy and verse 11. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. That word fluttereth, stirreth, fluttereth over her nest, that's the same word as move in Genesis 1-2. The Holy Spirit moved. He fluttereth, He hovereth, He cared for His young. What a beautiful picture we have here of God preparing to bring life into the world through His Spirit. God designed all of creation for life, for our life, for mankind's life He created. But by the Spirit of God, the Word of God tells us in Job 26 and verse 13, by His Spirit He hath garnished the heavens. He adorned the heavens through His Spirit. That's Job 26 and verse 13. He designed this earth with us in mind. Look over again in the book of Isaiah and chapter 45. I have nothing to say on this subject. God does. That's why we must see what the Scriptures say. Isaiah 45 and verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. He created with us in mind. He formed the earth. The whole Godhead formed the earth for it to be inhabited by man. On this fascinating topic, we should also note that the Scriptures describe a similar hovering, fluttering movement of the Spirit of God. And one of the greatest miracles of all time, the miraculous conception of Jesus Christ. We get that wrong sometimes. It's not the miraculous birth of Christ. It's the miraculous conception of Christ. For Christ was born just like any other person was born, but He was conceived like no other ever had or ever will. He was conceived by God. So it was a miraculous conception by the Spirit of God. Go back and see with your eyes in Luke 1, verse 35. In Luke 1 and verse 35, of course, we know Gabriel here is talking to Mary. And we jump right in the middle of it. In verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This is another instance of the hovering of the Spirit of God in a creation process. Just as God worked through Jesus and the Holy Spirit to bring life into the dark, formless world of creation, so also He now offers eternal life to any who repent and believe through the conviction and the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God in the name and of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. They're all connected. So as we look at creation, as we think on creation, let us not limit it to just God the Father. As we look in the New Testament, let us not just limit creation to Jesus Christ. As we look at creation, let us draw back into our minds and remember Genesis 1-2 when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He hovered over it. He moved over it. He fluttereth over it like a bird takes care of her nest and her eggs. The Holy Spirit is involved in creation. We can see that from Job. We can see that from the Psalms. We can see that from the book of Isaiah. We can see that in Deuteronomy. We know now the Holy Spirit of God is also involved in creation. So as we look at creation, we can see the proverbial fingerprints of God the Father upon creation. When we look at creation, we can see the proverbial fingerprints of the Holy Spirit on creation, and we can see the fingerprints of Jesus Christ on creation. All were involved. But it takes all three. They're never divided. They're never at odds with one another. They're always in agreement. For they are one God. We serve one God. But they all have three different responsibilities and works, but they never act alone. They're all involved. Not only in the plan of creation, they're all in the plan involved in man's salvation. They're all involved in our redemption and one day our translation. As we have seen, the Holy Spirit has been indwells us at the day of salvation, and He will never leave us. Never leave us. We have part of the Godhead. We have God indwelling us. In the sake of repeating myself, but it's worth repeating, If we truly believe that we have God indwelling us, wherever we go, whatever we say, whatever we listen to, whatever we talk about, God is right there with us at all times. We should be brought into conviction all the time. And if you're not brought into conviction, examine yourselves. Are you truly one of His? And if you are, then have you seared the Spirit so much that He says, okay, go ahead. Have your way. We have God indwelling us. We have the Creator inside of us trying to recreate us in the image of Christ. Will we allow Him to transform us? He wants to. He's willing to. He's able to. But He will not do it unless we give it up to Him. And, you know, we could take an offering plate if it's big enough and we could step into it and we could say, okay, God, here's all of me. But when we do that, are we truly giving ourselves completely to God? Is there something tucked way back inside that we haven't given to Him? Is there something way back on this side that we haven't given to Him? Is there something you're trying to hide behind your back that, God, don't, I can't go there? Then you haven't given yourself completely to God. Now, I know we're in the flesh. We're carnal. Prayfully, we're Christians. We still have the spirit of man indwelling us. But we should be striving every moment of every day to give ourselves to God. Give ourselves to God. Give ourselves to God. It's not a daily thing, it's a moment by moment thing. For Satan's going to attack us not just once a day. He's going to attack us every moment of every day that he can. So every time you feel the attacks of Satan, well, I don't feel the attacks of Satan. Are you drawn to look at something you're not supposed to look at? You ever listen to something you're not supposed to listen to? Are you ever drawn to read something? Or you know what sin is. Are you ever tempted? That's Satan's attacks. And as soon as you know that attack is there, go to God and say, help me, Lord. Give me the strength I need to overcome this. Holy Spirit, help me right now. Start singing those scripture songs you know. Start singing those hymns, but the power is in the Word. You must memorize Scripture. And the Holy Spirit draws that Scripture back up from your heart. And that's what you use in those times when Satan's attacking. For that's what's got the power. You have God inside of you if you are born again. You have the power within you. You don't have the power. I don't have the power. But we have the power within us to resist Satan and his attacks. Will we let him work in our lives? He is part of creation. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this study. It is so deep, Lord. There's so many things that we could have looked at. Let us go back on our own personal studies and study the creation, study the Holy Spirit, and see His actions, His work within the Old Testament with creation. Let us study the word breathe and the word move and the word wind. Let us study and see through the Scriptures as the Holy Spirit illuminates it to our hearts and minds, His role in creation. Help us in this study. Bless in the next hour. Bless every aspect of this service in our juniors and toddler churches and our teen churches and the main sanctuary, Lord. Help us, Lord, lift up Jesus Christ. Help someone come to know you as their Savior today. Restore those that are fallen. Bring those back that have backslidden. Encourage those that need to be encouraged. Help us to rejoice, for we have the joy of the Lord within us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen.